our study through Joshua. And this morning we want to look at Joshua chapter 20. Joshua chapter 20. And we're also going to be looking at a little bit out of chapter 21. Those of you who were here last Sunday afternoon, we looked at Joshua chapter 21, the cities given to the Levites. Just to give context to what's going to happen today as we look at the cities of refuge, we're going to be looking just a little bit about the cities that were given to the Levites and just summarizing a couple things there. I'd like to read, beginning at Joshua chapter 20, verse 1. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out of you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he doth flee unto one of these cities, one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city. They shall then take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then he shall not deliver the slayer up unto his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not beforetime. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city, and unto his own house, and unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee among Naphtali, and Shechem in the mount of Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side of the Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth of Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan of Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. I just bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look at your word this morning, help us to understand that you are a God of justice, you are a God of mercy, and Father, you are a God of truth. Lord, as we look at your word this morning, help us to understand these things. And Lord, help us to grasp the concepts that are laid before us about the cities of refuge, the purpose of them, and how they apply to our lives even today. Lord, help us to as we look into your word, this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, the cities of refuge were six cities that were laid throughout. We just read about them. That were laid throughout the land of Israel, strategically placed, so that anyone who unwittingly killed someone, for example, the scriptures give us examples, if a man would be hewing with an axe, and the head of the axe would fly off, and it would strike a neighbor who was working with him, and the neighbor died. That would be he had not intended to kill his neighbor. He hadn't gone about premeditating. He hadn't hated his neighbor. It was an accident. And yet there was in the law the avenger of blood, because the word of God says that if man's blood is shed, man's life will be taken who shed it. And so God said, well, this is not a premeditation. This is an accident. We would call it manslaughter today. There wasn't any intent on hurting anyone. It's something that just happened. And we see here that God made a means by which there could be escape. We're going to examine that this morning. We're also going to be examining how that relates to Jesus Christ and us at the end of the message. But before, I want to just talk a little bit about the cities of refuge. These cities came out of the Levitical cities. And those of you who were here last Sunday afternoon, we looked at the Levitical cities. The Levitical cities, if you remember, were given to the tribes of Levi as his inheritance. Why? Because he was not allowed to inherit anything in the land. Now, Simeon was also in the same situation because of what they had done way back when in Shechem, where they had killed the prince, whose name was Shechem, and all the men of the city. And God had not looked favorably upon that, and because of that, they both lost the right to inherit land. Simeon his inheritance was within Judah. If you would look at a map, which we don't have up today, of the tribes and their inheritance, you would see that Simeon's inheritance lies within Judah. He was part of Judah, in essence. He didn't have his own land. Levi, on the other hand, because of what happened when Moses had called out for those who would stand for God, for truth, when the nation of Israel rebelled against God, creating the golden calf, worshiping it in an orgy, and worshiping false gods at the foot of Mount Sinai, and Moses called out for those who would stand with God for truth. All the men of Levi came and stood with Moses, and God gave them a blessing out of that which had been a curse. The blessing was that they would inherit specific cities along with the suburbs for their cattle in the land of Israel, throughout the land. All these cities, and they would be inherited according to the three sons of Levi. And just to review, the three sons of Levi were Gershom, Kohath, and Merari, M-E-R-A-R-I, Merari. Those were Levi's three sons. And out of Kohath, out of the tribe of Kohath, out of the sons of Kohath, Aaron and Moses were of that descent. Now, we didn't mention on Sunday afternoon when we were looking at the inheritance of the tribes of Levi, Kohath got two portions. And the reason he did is that those who were the descendants of Kohath, who were not of Aaron and Moses' descendants, were not priests, they inherited a certain number of cities. And those that were descendants of Aaron and Moses that were of the priestly line, they inherited a certain number of cities. And so that the tribe of Kohath received 23 cities, and the tribe of the Gershomites received 13 cities, and the tribe of the Merarites received 12 cities. So a total, there's 48 cities. Now, it's interesting to look at also what God intended for these people. Remember that they did not have land like the other people had land. The other people had lots of land where they could raise crops, where they could grow cattle, where they could go and have property to have olive trees and all these things. These Levites, their cities, the only property they had was the suburbs, and the suburb there was not like suburbs today. It wouldn't be a little town outside the town. It would rather be land that would be surrounding the town immediately. And in that land, they could keep their animals. They could raise a few crops. But God also made provision for them that the rest of the nation of Israel would take care of them. Remember that the tenth or a tithe was to be given to the tribe of Levi by all the other tribes. Why? Because the other tribes had land that they could raise their crops on. And Levi didn't have much land, just the suburbs. And so they would give of their abundance, they would give a tithe to the Levites. But then the Levites, they would also give a tithe. They would give a tithe to the tribe of Aaron, the tribes, the priestly tribes. So that we see that there was a tithe within a tithe, and that God had made provision so that these people would be taken care of, because we need to eat. We just need more than a house to sleep in. We need other sustenance to keep us alive. God made provision for the people of the Levitical tribes and the priests. Now, the 48 cities that were given to the Levites, we first read of that in Numbers chapter 35, verse 7. Numbers chapter 35, verse 7 is the first place that you see that he talks about these 48 tribes. If you just want to quickly turn to Numbers 35, verse 7, and the Lord speaks about the cities given to the Levites. And he says, "So all the cities which ye shall give to the Levites shall be 48 cities. Them shall ye give with their suburbs." So God tells that, Moses is, reveals that to the nation of Israel while he's still leading the nation. And we realize that Moses is the gives the first of the 48 cities of refuge. The 48 cities of the Levitical descendants of Levi, that they would be given, the first ones would be given to the 2.5 tribes by Moses while he was still leading them. The rest would be given to the others when they got into the promised land. And verse 6 is the first that we mention of chapter 35 of Numbers, where it talks about the cities of refuge. "And among the cities which shall be given unto the Levites, there shall be 6 cities for refuge, which ye shall appoint for the manslayer, that he may flee thither, and to them ye shall add 42 cities." So when God sets aside these cities, there's 6 of them, or 1/8, that are going to be set aside specifically as cities of refuge. And we see that when God gave the 10 commandments at Mount Sinai, he also gave civil laws that flowed out of those 10 commandments. Now, one of the things that we're going to be looking at this morning is, if you're looking at our nation today, you're going, what kind of laws do we have? Because it doesn't seem like there's justice in our laws. It seems like there's a difference for different people. Some people get prosecuted when they don't do anything. Other people do things and never receive prosecution, never brought under the law. What kind of law is this? Well, this isn't the law that God established, and it's not the law that our nation first had when we were founded as a nation by our founding fathers. You see that the civil laws that God gave, that is how the nation of Israel was to live amongst each other, how they were to treat each other, those are given as part of the number of laws that are given after God gave the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were the basis or the foundation for all the rest of the laws. And the Ten Commandments had their basis or foundation in God's character himself. And so we see here that at Mount Sinai is the first place that we see the civil laws. It's the first place that we're talked about that God would say how you deal with situations like something that, what is the difference between murder and unintentional death, and how do you treat the difference of those. And the civil laws are first seen in Exodus chapter 21, verses 12 and 13. And if you just turn with me to Exodus chapter 21, verses 12 and 13. And read the following. And it says, this would be the absolute law that would flow out about dealing with what God would be God's order. And he says in verses 12 and 13, "He that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. And if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him unto his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee." So we see here that God makes a distinction in the civil law between murder, killing somebody with intent, and an accidental death. And God says, "I will make a difference in my law and in the land." Now, the difference between the United States and in Israel was a theocracy. God was the king. God was the ruler. God established all the laws, and Israel was to live by them all. The United States is not a theocracy, but we did establish our rule of law based upon the character of God and His absolutes and His civil law. And so that is why today there you have a thing called manslaughter in our, and you'll see that what happens to somebody who does manslaughter is totally different from what happens to somebody with premeditated murder. There is a difference. However, again, like I said, there seems to be this slide that's occurring in our culture where there's no longer absolutes and there's no longer justice. And we'll take a look at what has happened there in just a moment. Now, we see that the civil law dealt with when the individual did not intend to kill the person. The next mention of this is in Numbers 35. It won't take time to look up all of these. You can look them up on your own. But it's mentioned again. The concept of the city of refuge is found in Numbers 35. Then it's found again in Deuteronomy chapter 4, 41 through 43. And I want you to turn there because I want you to see that Moses did establish three or half of the cities of refuge on the east side of the Jordan River. And that they were established there because, as we mentioned, to be equally dispersed throughout the land so that somebody would have an opportunity, no matter where he was in Israel, to get to a city of refuge if he needed to. So Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 41 through 43. Then Moses severed three cities on this side, Jordan, toward the sun rising. In other words, on the east side of the Jordan, when Moses was still leading the nation of Israel, he set aside three cities, that the slayer might flee thither, which should kill his neighbor unawares, and hated him not in times past, that fleeing unto one of these cities he might live, namely Bezer in the wilderness, in the plain country of the Reubenites, and Ramoth in Gilead of the Gadites, and Golan in Bashan of the Manassites. Now, if you look and see that did Joshua honor what Moses had set out, the answer is yes, because it was established by God. It wasn't just established by Moses, but by God. And I want you to understand that this has an impact on the way that you should view all of Scripture. Joshua viewed Scripture as the Word of God, what was given to him and revealed, and it wasn't to be changed. He may have thought, or some of the other people may have thought, well, those wouldn't really be the best cities. But God is the one who established those cities. He established them through Moses. And then we see when Joshua took command, Joshua followed exactly by reestablishing them with the verses that we read earlier when he said, these are the six cities of refuge. These same three cities on the east side of the Jordan were once again listed. That shows that the Scripture was held in high view. There are people today that say, well, the first 11 chapters of Genesis don't matter. As a matter of fact, most of the Old Testament doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, the book of Revelation doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that Jesus came. And they would be what we call liberal theologians, but their definition of Jesus and who He is and why He came makes no sense, because they don't hold the Scripture in high authority and high regard. They don't hold God's Word in high regard. Nor do they look to the Lord as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the one that has established all things. God established it. Joshua believed it. And Joshua did what Moses had been told by the Lord to do. And he followed through on it and did what he was told to do. Now, if you turn with me also to Numbers chapter 35, Numbers chapter 35, and I want you to read here so that we understand specifically that it wasn't just in Joshua that was told how this, what was the intent of these cities. Numbers 35, and we begin at verses 4 and 5. Numbers 35, 4 and 5. And the suburbs of the cities which he shall give unto the Levites, shall reach from the wall of the city and outward 1,000 cubits round about. And he shall measure from without the city on the east side 2,000 cubits, on the south side 2,000 cubits, and on the west side 2,000 cubits, and on the north side 2,000 cubits. And the city shall be in the midst of this. This shall be to them the suburbs of the cities. Now, the reason I wanted to read that is because it was the city and the suburbs that this man was to flee to. Now, if you go to Joshua chapter 35, beginning at verse 15. These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger, for the sojourner among them, that every one that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. Now I want you to see this was unconditionally available to anybody that was in Israel. You just didn't have to be an Israelite. You could be somebody that was living amongst the Israelites. You could be somebody that was passing through the land of Israel. But if you killed somebody unaware, and you hadn't, it was an accident, you had the right to flee to one of these cities. You didn't have to be a descendant of Jacob to do it. And if he smite him, if he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. In other words, there's a difference. God's making a difference here. The accidental death and the one who is intentionally premeditated killed. The one who kills by premeditation shall be put to death. And if he smite him with a throwing stone wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer, and the murderer shall surely be put to death.